Blog Talk Radio.
Change will not come if we wait for some other person or if we wait for some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for.
Rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep alone. Sweep the streets I used to own.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well funded.
Prices going higher and higher. Ask George Bush's best friend, Big Oil.
Big Oil.
Big Oil kept U.S. oil reserves in Anwar off limits by paying off the Caribou lobby.
Big Oil.
And who conspired to keep new refineries from being built in the U.S.? Big Oil.
Big Oil.
And why is Ted Kennedy opposing windmills in Nantucket Sound? Big Oil.
Ethanol.
And who, in 1979, along with the Cardigan Sweater Cartel, made sure that Iran would always be run by unstable lunatics? Big Oil.
Jimmy Carter.
Big Oil did all this to make unbelievable profits of 9 cents per gallon.
Profits.
So get angry at George Bush and Big Oil and ignore anything the Democrats have ever done to get us in this mess.
Paid for by George Soros and other futures trading friends of Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Barack Hussein Obama. He's blaming Bush. He'll do it again, even though it's wearing thin.
Greetings, folks. T-Mock. Back for another drive time.
I need to set the record straight on a few things. The title of this message is African American is as offensive as nigger. To me. Now, I want y'all to understand where I'm coming from. All of you lily-livered white folks caught up in political correctness, and all of you Negroes or black people caught up in trying to redefine yourself because someone else has a hyphenated term of citizenship. If you refer to me as an African American on any of my videos or my channel, I'm going to block you. I am not an African American. I have never been to Africa. Africa is a continent to begin with. And for you idiots who are going to come back, well, America is a continent. North America, fool, I'm talking about the United States of America. That is a country. Get that. So Africa as a continent offers no citizenship papers. And I've never been there. Neither have my parents. And also, understand this. If it were an appropriate term to call black folks, then what the hell do you do about the white folks that are born in Africa, on the continent of Africa? You gonna call them African American too? Jesus Christ! You folks kill me with that. Don't call me African American. I'm not an African American. I'm not an African. I'm an American. A U.S. citizen and proud to be one. Kimon out.
All right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, I'm back. Dr. C. Robert Jones, and you're listening to the Dr. C. Robert Jones Situation Report. I'm your host for tonight. My good friend Cool Mike filled in for me while I was away, and he did a great job. I'm hearing glowing reports, as I always do when he takes over for the show. Some folks have said that he does a better job hosting my show than I do myself, and that he should be hosting my show, and I should go back to wherever the hell I was while he was hosting my show. You know, that's the thing. When you have such a great guy, a great host, substituting and hosting your show for any length of time, 2, 3, 4, 5 shows, and on, everybody says, wow, you know what? If you want to keep your show and you want to keep it popular and you want to and you want great ratings and all of that, you can either host a show yourself or you can run the risk. Yeah. Or you can run the risk of asking Cool Mike to host your show so that he'll eventually replace you and everybody will want him. And they'll tell you to go back to wherever it was you were while he was hosting your show. But hold on a minute. Let me gather myself because I'm so excited to be back. Even though Cool Mike did a great job, and he probably did a great job than I'll ever do on my own show, we're going to go ahead and try this again. Today's date, April 16th, 2012. Beautiful old town Alexandria. United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. While I was away, I looked on with great interest regarding the situation with the young man in Stanford, Florida. You know who I'm talking about. Trayvon. I am Trayvon. Well, I'm not. I'm Dr. C. Robert Jones. But you get the point. The interest I had in this, well, it deeply saddened me that the young man was killed. And I do believe that Mr. Zimmerman should have been charged, charged with no less than manslaughter. Manslaughter for me would have done it just fine, and that'll probably be what it's knocked down to, if in fact he's, you know, it goes that far. But what interests me about this whole situation was the Jesse Jacksons, the Al Sharptons, the new Black Panther Party, all of these folks who jumped on the bandwagon. When in my hometown of Chicago, young black men are dying by the bushel full. I'm talking 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 a night on the south side of Chicago, which is where I'm from. In fact, there was a There was a situation in Chicago not so long ago on a stretch of Halsted Street. Halsted stretches the full length of the city and beyond. Between 69th and 119th Street on Halsted, black gang members, the Black Gangster Disciples, would drive down around dusk with their lights off. And an unsuspecting driver coming in the opposite direction would drive and flash their lights to suggest that, hey, your lights are off. You must have forgot. You know, put your lights on. It'll help you. Well, while driving down Halsted Street, a gang member would see a car coming in the opposite direction and flash their lights. At which time, the gang member would open up and shoot at the car. It was a sport. And many times, the person in the car was a little old lady or an older man or a young guy who was just trying to help the guy and say, hey, you may have forgotten to put your lights on. It's dark out here. These things happen in Chicago every single day. Murders of young black men. And oftentimes, no one's brought to justice. No one. Do we see Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton or any of those folks out marching? Do we see the Black Panther Party putting out a bounty on the black perpetrators? Because these young black men who are being slaughtered in places like New York, Chicago, Detroit, Ohio, Washington, D.C., certainly, no one's marching for them. No one's marching for their mothers who have lost their children. No one's complaining at all. Oh, well. I heard that a lady went on CNN not so long after the Trayvon shooting saying, I'm tired of young black men being murdered. I'm tired. Well, of course you are. But were you tired when those five black teens, young men and young women were slaughtered by a black man who just walked into a convenience store and sprayed the place with bullets? Not only killed a little old lady, black, but a young lady of 16 and two 14-year-old young men. It was in the news, certainly, but did Jesse march? Certainly not. Did Al Sharpton march? Did he ask for justice? Did the new Black Panther Party, and I'll tell you what, let me say something about the Black Panther Party right now. Back in the day, the Black Panther Party didn't talk as venomous as they do now, not even back then. Oh, yeah, they threw out the occasional honky, maybe a whitey every now and then, or sometimes, of course, the man. But now we've got new Black Panther Party members putting out bounties and calling white folks crackers and honkies and worse names. Not even the Black Panther Party back when I was a kid went that far. And I can tell you that for certain, because every morning on my way to school, I stopped off at the Black Panther office, their little building, and I had some breakfast over there every single morning. And Bobby Rush himself once told me as I walked in to get my eggs and bacon and sausage that I looked like I was in jail because I was wearing some pinstripe trousers. I guess the pinstripes were just a little bit too wide for his taste. So he said that it looked like I was in jail. So that was my Bobby Rush moment. So now I hear that Bobby's coming inside the Congress floor wearing a hoodie. Bobby hasn't changed at all. Bobby was once a Black Panther member. In fact, he's been to jail several times. How he got to be congressman, I don't know. I mean, is it okay for convicted felons to be congressmen these days? Oh, well. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. So that's my take on the Trayvon Martin situation. It's a tragedy that the young man was killed. It really is. And whether or not racism was involved or not, it's hard to tell. There's been nothing to substantiate any such thing. But what I do know is young black men are being killed all over the United States of America every single day, every night. And 99% of those murders are done by other black men. And nobody is marching for them. I have to think that in Chicago, Illinois, my hometown, young mothers must be shaking their heads and wondering why Jesse isn't marching for their son. Why Al Sharpton isn't on TV addressing the deaths of their sons and daughters. But yet, young Trayvon in Stanford, Florida, is being held up almost as a martyr, a saint, if you will. While perhaps tonight there'll be more murders, which we'll read about tomorrow, there's no doubt. And Jesse and Al and the new Black Panther Party will not march. Think about that. So let me go ahead and switch gears. We're going to take a short break, and then I'll come back, and then we'll finish this off and talk about some other things. I'll tell you what, I am glad to be home. I am really glad to be back. We'll be right back. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
Excellence in Broadcasting presents Liberals of Genius.
Liberals of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. President of the United States.
Mr. President of the United States.
You single-handedly managed to choke all the life out of the world's greatest economy in record time.
10% unemployment.
No one else could have apologized more, spent more, or built a rat maze healthcare system from hell that only the IRS could love.
What were you thinking?
Thanks to you, FDR will be known as a conservative, Carter will look presidential, and Joseph Stalin won't seem like such a bad guy.
Joe was misunderstood.
So crack open a good book, sit on your butt, and help your buddies with a snowball's chance in November.
Mr. President, the one we weren't waiting for.
Do you know how much is too much?
Hit me again.
Do you know when to say when?
Pelosi's coming over. Make it a double.
Studies show that those who overindulge exhibit signs of arrogance.
I don't count my drinks because I'm the president.
Overconfidence.
This is the day we stop the seas from rising. Or was it yesterday?
The inability to think clearly on one's own.
Where's my teleprompter? I gotta talk to those kindergarten kids.
You think you're funny, but no one else does.
Let's give the Dalai Lama a set of cufflinks and send him out the back door.
Mr. President, let's don't do that.
And a profound inability to listen to others.
Rama's funny. You don't know funny.
If a friend, relative, or leader of the free world exhibits any of these warning signs, don't let them drive, operate heavy machinery, or sign any important documents.
Where's that health care bill?
And consider moderating their alcohol intake before it's too late.
All right, and we're back with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. I just got some information from Cool Mike Cougar 11 earlier when the show first started regarding President Obama's birth certificate. Obama's lawyer admits that the birth certificate is a forgery. Is that news to anybody? Because it's been said all along, from the first day that Barack Obama posted his long-form birth certificate. The bloggers were all over the place with this, suggesting that the birth certificate was a forgery, that it couldn't possibly be correct. A lawyer representing U.S. President Barack Obama has admitted the long-form birth certificate presented by the White House last year is a forgery. But does that disqualify him from appearing on the ballot this November? Defense attorney Alexandria M. Hill made the comment during a recent New Jersey ballot challenge hearing brought about by Tea Party members who questioned his eligibility to appear on the state's presidential primary ballot. Attorney for the plaintiff, Mario Apuzzo, argued that President Obama has furnished proof of his natural-born citizenship status to the state of New Jersey. Apuzzo went on to say that Obama's father was not an American citizen, meaning President Obama is not a natural-born citizen and ineligible for the office he holds. Hill tried to dismiss the suit because while U.S. Constitution limits the office of the president to only those who have a natural-born citizenship status, New Jersey law does not require a candidate to furnish proof of his or her status. Here we go. Everyone knew that. It's not news. It's news that Obama's attorney admits that it's a forgery. But somehow, isn't that a crime? Is it a crime to furnish or to publish an official document that's a forgery and put it out as fact? And if so, why? Why did Obama or his administration, well, they're one and the same, furnish a forged document? Everything about this guy is shady. Every single thing, from this crap about him being a constitutional law professor, which was a bunch of crap. Your humble host, Dr. C. Robert Jones, has the credentials to be a professor of history. I went through the necessary processes to become that. Obama has no PhD. He only has a law degree. He cannot be a professor of anything. He was not a constitutional law professor. He was a part-time visiting professor. He walked in. He's the guy. Let me tell you what he did at the University of Chicago. He was the guy that would come in and teach my class while I'm on vacation. I go on vacation. I take a couple of days off. I call Obama, and he comes in and substitutes for me. He's a substitute teacher. I was a teaching assistant as an undergrad. I taught classes as an undergrad. I taught classes as a grad student. It's no big deal. But to put the professor and attach that as part of his credentials is erroneous. He was never that. Now we find out that his birth certificate is a forgery. The guy is an empty suit, and we're going to get into that a little bit later on during the week. Obama is an empty suit. He is made up. He is the emperor who is buck naked. He has no clothes. He's that geeky little dude who's behind the curtain on The Wizard of Oz. And if any of you out there who watched the series Justified heard the marshal say that when the curtain was pulled back, that the dude behind the curtain was kind of a pussy, and and he wasn't this all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing guy. Anybody watch that episode? That's what Obama is. He's a punk. He's a chump. Obama is a fraud, and a fraud that has been perpetrated on you and me. Earlier today, I had a conversation with a new friend of mine. She said that she appreciates the fact that I am a Republican, that I am a conservative, but she believes it's important to support the first African-American president. That's it. To support him simply because he, according to her, is the first African-American president. As we heard from my main man, T-Mont, who you can find on YouTube, there is no such thing as African-American. But nevertheless, that's neither here nor there. Obama has been made up to be something he is not. Hell, the man can barely string a sentence together without screwing it up. He stammers and stutters like a drunk. Attempting to give what should be the simplest of answers, he's stumped. I still believe that for most of his speeches, when he doesn't use that damn teleprompter, he's got somebody feeding the words to him in his ear. He is a fraud. Now, the question is, if President Obama puts out a fake birth certificate, what is he hiding? That's my question. Does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care? Let me ask you this. Why would the president put out a fake document? What's he hiding? Is it true that the president is not who he says he is? Could it be? Could it be that the president of the United States is a fraud? Could it be that he is not eligible to be president of the United States? And finally, it's coming to light. Now, what about you folks who are Obama supporters? What do you think of this? Does it bother you at all that the president of the United States is a fraud? What if I told you that I held a degree, PhD, from William & Mary, and I posted my degree online for you to see because Cool Mike said, hell to the null, you're not a PhD from William & Mary. You lied. And I say, oh, hell yeah. It's true. I have a degree from William & Mary, PhD. Got it right here on the wall in a pretty frame. And you say to me, well, post it and let me see. And I say to you, Cougar, Cool Mike, I'm going to post my PhD, the plaque they gave me, the sheepskin, on the net for you to check out. And you say, well, do it then. And I say, well, all right, do it. And I post it. I post my PhD diploma on the web. Come to find out, a couple of months later, after careful analysis, that PhD was faked. I photoshopped it. I photoshopped a PhD. It took me a half hour. I came up with something nice. I posted it because I'm playing you for a sucker. And you figure it out. And you say, uh-huh, busted. You're not really a PhD. You lied. What do you think of a guy like that? What would you think of me if I faked my credentials? Would all credibility be lost? Would anybody listen to my show ever again? Even if Cool Mike took over, would anybody listen to Cool Mike? They'd have to change the name to Cool Mike's Situation Report. Because I would have lost all credibility. But what will happen? And of course, all the black folks, all three of them, listening to my show, they'd be gone. But later on tomorrow, when I reveal or re-reveal this article that Obama's birth certificate is a forgery, there'll be no limit to the Negroes who will come up with some excuse, or they'll say it doesn't really matter whether he's a fraud. It doesn't matter that he faked his birth certificate. He's the president. Yeah, uh-huh. That's what they'll say. most black folks will come out and say, hey, I'm not sweating it. So what if he's a fraud? So what if he faked his birth certificate? He must have had a reason. Black folks will follow Obama into hell with gasoline drawers on. No doubt. It doesn't matter. The guy could beat his wife. They'll say, well, black folks have been known to beat their wives from time to time. It's no big deal. It doesn't matter what this guy does. But here's the thing. If Obama, now we were going to talk about Obama as a farce, and I was going to read some really cool article from the American Thinker by William L. Ginsert, because he makes a great point. But let's talk about this ballot issue a little bit more. Because Cool Mike brought it out. I'm sure 2020 is going to talk about it. GGT is going to talk about it. Flyover will get into it. Cool Mike might get into it a little bit. Of course. So why don't I get into it right now first? If I am first, I doubt it. But hey, what do you think? Talk to some black folk tomorrow and watch them make excuses for this clown. Somebody said the other day that black folks will vote for President Obama. Doesn't matter what he does unless he comes out to be a homo, which some folks say he already is. Short of rape and murder, black folks are going to vote for him. Doesn't matter that he faked his birth certificate. Not one single bit. Are you feeling love? Our president is a fraud. That's the only conclusion I can come up with. Why fake your birth certificate? Now, according to the Tea Party Tribune, Hill went on to admit that the long-form birth certificate released online by the White House in April 2011 is indeed a forgery that did not originate from an actual paper document, and therefore it cannot be used as evidence to confirm his lack of natural-born citizenship status. So they used his birth certificate as a forgery so that it cannot be used against him. Is that amazing or what? So, President Obama's birth certificate was likely part of a contrived plot by counterfeiters to endow Obama with mere political support while simultaneously making the image intentionally appear absurd and therefore invalid as evidence toward proving Obama's ineligibility in a court of law. The Tea Party Tribune quoted Hill as saying, oh my God. So Obama puts out a forged document, and in order to provide proof that putting out a forged document can't be used against him, what the hell? Hill went on to contort reasoning by implying that Obama needs only invoke his political popularity, not legal qualifications, in order to be a candidate. Judge Manis denied the motion to dismiss, and the case proceeds to trial. I suspect that it's going to get a little worse. I suspect that this is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, when a fraud unravels, it just unravels. And there's no stopping it. It's like a domino effect. How amazing is that? All right. We're going to get into this just a little bit more. But first, we're going to take another short break. And we'll be back. But first, we're going to listen to one of my good friends here.
Hey, just wanted to holler at y'all real quick. starting with our president, whose skin color has nothing to do with what we think of him. But his skin thinness does a lot, though.
They talk about me like a dog. That's not in my prepared remarks. It's just...
Very good, Barry. You said that without a teleprompter. You want a treat? I'm sorry, he trotted. I mean, he walked into that one. From there, he says this.
When it comes to just about everything we've done to strengthen our middle class, to rebuild our economy, almost every Republican in Congress says no. Even on things we usually agree on, they say no. If I said the sky was blue, they say no. If I said fish live in the sea, they say no.
Lying on Republicans is the best liberals have. I agree with you, Barry. The sky is blue and there are fish in the sea. No Republican will argue with you on that. And it seems the best way you can get the most desirable reaction from your crowd is to lie on us. From there, Barry and the rest of the liberals try to say that all we say is no all the time. And we just automatically disagree with the president, even when the president gives Republicans what they want. Okay, listen. Obama is not offering tax cuts. What he is proposing is tax incentives. Liberals can't see the forest through the trees again. And Obama's language is a forest of semantics. Yes, Republicans are all for tax cuts. And Obama is trying to say that I thought the Republicans were for tax cuts. What Obama is talking about is tax incentives, not the same as tax cuts. A tax cut means that the burden has been removed from the business, so they'll have more hiring power. But what Obama's saying is, I know money is tight, but I'll tell you what, you hire this many people, they will give you a break. That's like putting the chicken in the batter after you put it in the grease. So of course we're going to say no to tax incentives. Our solution, since you liberals say that we don't have any, which is a lie, is to cut taxes. And I tell you what, I would rather be the party of no than to be a party of lies. That's y'all. You know that's y'all. Y'all be lying and say that we just want tax cuts for the rich. That's a lie. We want tax cuts for everybody. You liberals can't help but stoke the flames of class warfare. We have ideas, and y'all know we have ideas. I could prove it. Watch. Every time Republicans introduce an idea, liberals always just say Republicans are just looking out for the rich. And who has never heard the liberals say Republicans are just looking out for the rich? Who never heard that? Y'all never heard that? I know y'all heard that. Liberals can't counter with that had we not proposed a solution, which means that not only are they a party of lies, they're the real party of no, as well as the party of accusations and blames and all that other stuff. As well as lie on Republicans, Obama and the left can't help but blame Bush for the economy we have now. And guess what, Barry? A lot of conservatives agree with you. You know why Bush carries a lot of blame? Because he allowed liberalism to dominate how the economy was managed, or mismanaged, I should say. Now, Obama's complaining that all the Republicans do is reject his policies when all he's trying to do is give the Republicans what they want, which is a lie. George Bush, however, did give you liberals what you wanted and it wrecked our economy. And now you're blaming him for what you wanted. The House and Senate had a Democrat majority in the latter part of the Bush administration, and they kicked the nitrous towards our downward economy. George Bush only used the veto like 5 times, which means the liberals were getting what they wanted. And because they were getting what they wanted, we're paying for it now. So yeah, Bush can take some blame for real. He's to blame for not being the conservative we elected him to be. He's to blame for giving you liberals what you wanted. Liberalism spoiled the economy, y'all, not conservatism. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say for today. Thanks for hanging out with me, and I will holler at you soon.
All right, Zoe, good friend of mine, Zoe, he has a lot of these videos on YouTube. Check him out on YouTube whenever you can. He puts it down, doesn't he? He puts it down real nice. Anyway, we're back. Look, what's really going on here? What's happening? We have a call on the line. We'll see what he has to say. It looks like Frank Penn. Frank, you're online with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Do you have a comment?
Yeah, you know me quite well, boss.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, look, I'll put the role in the chat room. Put the words in the chat room.
Oh, okay.
Right now, the problem isn't Obama. His forgery has been proven all but scientifically. The question now is, the real thing is why the appropriate constitutional officers are not conducting the appropriate investigations. That's the question. Now, the founders created a mechanism to warn us of criminals like Barack Obama. They created everything we need to correct the problem. We have an insufficiency of courage now. That's the problem. It's not like the founders didn't anticipate we were going to run into something like this. They expected, though, we would have the wherewithal to do what needs to be done about it. The problem is that's not being done.
Well, Sarge, and I'm glad I didn't recognize the name there, and I do apologize. This is my good friend Sarge. He's on Blog Talk Radio with a variety of shows. You're on with GTT at 11:30. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. And tonight we're having as our guest Orly Tights to discuss this very issue. The woman that's in the thick of it, the woman whose indefatigability, her sheer willingness to persevere and not quit, puts to shame everybody who claims to be in the political arena out there, claims to be a constitutional conservative. She puts them to shame. Compared to her, they're just a damn disgrace.
Well, let's have a preview. Talk about it a little bit. Talk about what you and GDT are going to talk about with regard to this issue later on tonight. Maybe we can get some folks to come in who haven't come in before.
Well, she's going to bring us up to date on the latest developments in this issue. I'm going to speak to her about past happenings in it and her continual rebuffs by the court and the absurd legal reasoning of these various courts. It ought to be pretty entertaining. We're going to ask her, too, about her California senatorial run. And apparently, according to some fragmentary polling, she's doing pretty good. I think she's second behind Barbara Feinstein in a couple of polls I looked at.
Well, that's good news. It'd be good to retire Feinstein and be done with her, you know, once and for all. Now, Judge Mason, I believe I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, he's going to go ahead and let the trial proceed. What do you see? What sort of outcome do you see regarding this issue? If he's going to let it proceed,
maybe this is going to be a reinforcement of this a corrupt Akeney decision that Judge Mahaley pulls off here in Georgia. Mm-hmm. The Akeney decision said nothing whatsoever. First of all, it relied on Wong Kim Ark. Mm-hmm. Wong Kim Ark totally ignored Minor versus Happersett, like it didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And then it said that, Wong Kim Ark decided the birthright issue is citizenship, and therefore Barack Obama was qualified since he was a citizen that was born in Hawaii. That was it. They didn't mention anything about the distinction between birthright citizenship and natural-born citizenship. I mean, it was clearly a ruling intended to achieve a result, that is to allow Barack Obama to be on the ballot in Indiana. The judge in Georgia was not bound by it in any way, shape, form, or fashion, but yet and still he chose to use it as his binding precedent because it was a state court decision. It wasn't a federal court decision, but it didn't seem to matter to that judge either. He was determined to achieve an outcome.
Well, Sarge, Obama's birth certificate, Judge Arpaio already, you know, provided appropriate evidence that proves that Obama's birth certificate is a forgery. Nothing was done about it. It got news play for a little while, and we haven't heard much about it since, you know, for the last month or so. Now, Obama's lawyer admitted for the record that the birth certificate is a forgery. So how does that affect Obama's re-election bid?
Well,
because apparently
he should be up for resolution, re-election. He should be up for removal from office and indictment on criminal charges. I don't even believe he's a citizen, honest to God. I mean, you can't charge him with treason. Maybe you can charge him with sedition. You can't charge him with treason being even a citizen.
You know what?
You can charge him with any other number of criminal offenses, though. But the question is what it means for his re-election. The question is, why is this guy even be allowed to be put on the ballot?
Well, that's my question. You know, isn't it appropriate? I mean, do we live in a country at this point? Has it been has our political system been exposed to that? If I want to run for office, and say I was born in Kenya, and me, Clarence Jones, born in Kenya, really wants to run for the Senate in the state of Virginia or Georgia or Florida. And I go in, I don't have to show any documentation at all Is that right? I don't have to show Social Security number, ID, birth certificate. I can just run, right?
Well, New Hampshire said all you got to do is pay a $1,000 filing fee and file the appropriate paperwork. That's literally what they said. They told Dr. Tite said in her hearing in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that there is a statute that says you have to prove your constitutional eligibility via the Constitution.
So, wait, there's a statute that says that you have to prove that?
Yeah.
But nobody actually does.
They're more interested in a $1,000 filing fee and mm-hmm. the appropriate paperwork being filed.
So
that's what the five Democrats on the commission told Dr. Tite.
So it's kind of like when I wanted to pledge grad chapter for Alpha Phi Alpha. They weren't all that concerned with whether or not I was an actual alpha or not, but they wanted that $350.
They wanted $350.
Okay.
That's what they want. They want $350.
Right.
Now, as far as this, what you're speaking on with this attorney name, her name is Alexandra Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And she argued in the court there in New York, or rather New Jersey, that that about Obama's eligibility. Now, I kind of think, maybe you might want to withhold firearms of whether or not she admitted it was a forgery. Because now I looked at another site that I have a lot of faith in. It's called thebirthreport.com.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys who writes there, who apparently broke the story, is a guy named Dan Crosby of the Daily Pen, who's done some excellent work
mm-hmm.
in all of this with Obama's natural born citizen eligibility. Apparently, he was the one who broke the story first that Alexandra Hill admitted it was a forgery. Now, the people on that site said they watched the entire 3-hour hearing and they didn't hear this admission from Alexandra Hill. Not say that she didn't do it. They just said they watched the entire 3-hour hearing, and they said they didn't get this admission that Alexandra Hill had done this. Now,
all right.
So I'm when I get some time, I'm going to try to watch the whole hearing and see if she in fact did admit to this startling revelation.
Mm-hmm.
But Barack Obama and Bill Clinton are literally of the mind, it all depends on what the meaning of his is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I believe these guys capable of any sort of sophistry.
Well,
now, if you'd like to see this article at thebirthreport.com, which kind of disavows this, you can take a look for yourself and decide upon its authenticity. I'm still willing to reserve judgment until I see the whole hearing myself. And even then, who knows, the hearing might have skipped something. It might be something that wasn't recorded.
Somebody might have gone out to the bathroom or something. We've got
cool
Mike.
There's a link to it in the chat room. Everybody wants to get a look at the article at thebirthreport.com, which
right.
kind of disavows as to whether or not Alexandra Hill made that statement. But,
I see.
But given the Obama lawyers, I wouldn't be surprised. But although you got to admit, if her attorney said this, there shouldn't be anything to stop Congress from investigating.
Nothing at all.
Nothing
but,
at all. If her attorney says this in a legal proceeding, under oath. Under
exactly.
oath.
Exactly.
There shouldn't be anything to stop Congress from going. That's why I'm kind of wondering if it was said, because Congress now will have no excuse not to investigate. None. None. There can be no reason they can be holding back. None.
Oh, no doubt. We've got Cool Mike on with us, Sarge. Cool Mike, what do you say about this? Mike? Nah, he's not available yet.
I'm here. I'm here, Doc. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is no surprise, and the bottom line is when the ship – I really think part of the ship is coming apart, and some people are yelling, abandon ship, and that's what I think this is. I don't think it'll go anywhere because the major media networks won't carry it, but, we can still keep pushing it and passing the torch and – the bottom line is, what's the old saying for you military guys? Take out the general or the leader,
mm-hmm.
and then there's nothing but chaos.
Yeah.
The bottom line is Barack Obama may find himself. They're ruthless. People don't realize how ruthless Barack Obama really is. This woman's going to disappear. She's going to disappear. This judge in New Jersey going to find hanging from a tree with a note saying, "I've been in depression. I can't take it." No, I would not put anything past Barack Obama. I mean, he's as ruthless as they come.
Go ahead. Doc, there's a woman, a Hollywood producer. She produced, among other movies, Jack and Jill with Adam Sandler and others like that.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Bettina Sofia Viviano.
Mm-hmm.
And she was interviewed by Dr. Corsi, and she says the level of intimidation in the Democratic Party to destroy Hillary Clinton's candidacy and to force people into supporting Barack Obama was beyond anything she had ever seen. She said it was people were threatened with their lives. She even mentioned the death of the Arkansas National Committeeman who was shot dead in his office by a perpetrator who was then subsequently shot dead by the police as evidence of this. Now, you know, no one is directly tied to the Obama campaign or any of his associates yet,
mm-hmm.
but she mentioned it, and she mentioned other things, you know, that involved extortion and threats. It's really quite astonishing to hear come out with it. I'm going to put a link to that interview, too, that's available
mm-hmm.
for people to hear for themselves.
That'd be great.
And you can make your own decisions.
Doc Jones, let me ask you
and
a question.
Dr. Teich is subpoenaing her to testify in Mississippi, where she's issuing another ballot challenge to Barack Obama.
Wow. Go ahead.
My question is for you, Doc. Okay, you think that the statement, okay, no, that's a little overboard. Tell me, you are a historian, correct? Yes or no?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Name one time in history.
I can put my PhD up on the web for anyone who wants to.
Yeah, for those who doubt it.
okay, but
tell me one time in history where a dictator did not do such as what I just mentioned in order to retain power.
Of course, it's been done, you know, many, many times and over and over and over again by the same regime. Stalin murdered hundreds of thousands, some say millions. China, I mean, we don't even need to, you know, to get into detail about those folks. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. But you know, and even though you and I know that these things happen, some people believe that it's something that can't happen here in the United States. I mean, there are those who have, who believe that, the Twin Towers were brought down by, explosives. You know, and we killed 3,000 people in order to get, some legislation passed so that we can monitor everybody. I'm not so sure that you're not correct, Mike, but then again, some others might find it to be a bit far-fetched. But be that as it is, I mean, Sarge is saying that this attorney was not actually heard to have admitted that the birth certificate is a forgery.
I only know the article, so I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. But
I'm not saying that she didn't say it. I'm simply mm-hmm. saying that this reviewer at the Birth Report, which is really out to get Obama on this issue,
mm-hmm.
says they didn't hear it in the 3-hour video. It doesn't mean it wasn't said. Maybe it just wasn't recorded. I don't know. However, such a thing would be a startling admission. And I put, by the way, another link in there, the interview to Dr. Tites, not Dr. Tites, but the interview to Bettino.
Yeah.
Hollywood producer Bettino. Bettina Viviano. And you can listen to all three of those interviews in there with her.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them, particularly Dr. Corsi, which is quite startling. It's really quite amazing that, this woman's coming out, certainly saying, like I said, Dr. Teich has subpoenaed her to appear in Mississippi court to tell what she knows
mm-hmm.
of election fraud, forged documents, and other things.
Okay, so now let's say the document
this,
is forged.
That's on the
well,
interview.
So
she's
what?
Not going to speak
I mean,
of what's in the interview. She's going to speak about other aspects of Obama's fraud that Teich believes she has knowledge of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
any and
so
all
course,
records and information in regards to former President Bill Clinton and other Democratic Party officials having knowledge of missing valid identification documents from Mr. Barack Obama, any knowledge of any illegal or unethical acts and parties performing such acts, in order to cover up Obama's lack of documents, any knowledge of any intimidation of witnesses and whistleblowers. And in that interview also, she maintains that Bill Clinton said he knew that Barack Obama was constitutionally ineligible.
And
Bill Clinton was intimidated.
And Hillary suggested the very same thing when she suggested an October surprise with regard to Barack Obama during their battle for the nomination. But let me ask you guys this. Cool Mike, go ahead and say what you started to say, and then I'll ask my question, and then we'll get out of here.
Okay, you guys can answer this for me. Okay, Barack Obama is found to be lying, blah, blah, blah. He says, I'm staying. How can we get rid of him? Realistically, he's not going to be impeached because obviously the Senate's in the control of the Democrats. How do you get rid of him? Someone tell me.
Mike, he's found to be lying every day. That's not impeachable or removable. In fact, he's a lying bastard, and we know that. Oftentimes, all too many of our presidents are a bunch of liars. That's not going to constitute grounds for removal. What's going to constitute grounds for removal if he ain't a natural-born citizen?
Who removes him, Sarge? Who removes him?
I'll tell you who removes him. We the people have to remove him. At that point, if he just refuses to go, that's the point at which the founders gave us the Second Amendment. That's it. Either that or officers decide to take their oath. Officers in the armed forces take their oath to the Constitution seriously and remove the man who is proven to be legally a usurper. And that means they have to brush aside any Secret Service agents who would obstruct them from removing him from office and turning him over to the appropriate judicial officials. That's what would have to be done. We simply accept a coup d'etat by a usurper in violation of the Constitution. There is no other answer to it.
Well, let me just say this. We've got folks in New Jersey and a couple of other states who are challenging Obama's the constitutionality of his running for re-election, of him being on the ballots in those states. Real quick, what are the chances of him being removed from the ballot in the states where he's being challenged? Either of you gentlemen.
I don't see them as very high because they're Democratic states. They're bluer than blue states.
Mm-hmm.
There are people looking around for excuses to keep my back, and they'll do it. I don't see him as very high at all. I really
There's
do.
A
not,
zero,
not,
zero chance. Zero chance.
I say
he's
zero.
The president. He's the president. He is in complete control of this country.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
we need to have a record for judicial proceedings in the future. That's all. This is to maintain a record for judicial proceedings.
Well,
try not to get
all right, guys. Thank you so much. We're out of here. Have a great night. Tune in tomorrow. We'll finish this up, and then we'll get into some more things. Thanks for listening, guys. I'm glad to be back. Night, folks.
Yes, everything's fine.
God bless you.
God
bless the United States of America.
Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight.
Everything's alright, yes, everything's alright, yes.
Sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you, and anoint you for your hot forehead. Then you'll feel everything's alright, yes, everything's fine. And it's cool and the ointment's sweet for the fire in your head and feet. Close your eyes, and relax. Think of nothing tonight.
Hey, mama, your fine ointment, brand new and expensive, should have been saved for the poor. Why has it been wasted? We could have raised maybe 300 silver pieces or more. People who are hungry, people who are starving, they matter more than your feet and hair.
Try not to get worried, try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Don't you know everything's alright? Yes, everything's alright, yes.
Surely you're not saying we have the resources to save the poor from their lot. There will be poor always, pathetically struggling. Look at the good things you've got. Think while you still have me, move while you still see me. You'll be lost and you'll be sorry when I'm gone.
Sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you, and anoint you before your hot forehead. Then you feel everything's all right, yes, everything's fine. And it's cool and the ointment sweet for the fire in your head and feet. Close your eyes and relax, think of nothing. Close your eyes, close your eyes and relax. Close your eyes, close your eyes and relax. Close your eyes. Close your eyes.